Here again is a certain pattern of regeneration as it stems down into a number of sub-infinities and, in the end, a certain terminus or terminal point wherein the vortex will focus itself into another form of the hardcore nucleus, which can sometimes be entirely unrelated to the originating forms of consciousness as they were instigated by the higher forms of cyclic motion. This can be compared in some respects to two known physical laws, which are called adhesion and repulsion. If we find two kinds of liquids perfectly merging as in the case of water and alcohol, we will find that here the molecules are adhesively related to each other and can blend quickly. Here, too, the case with atoms is quite synonymous and some atoms can merge very quickly with other kinds of atoms and form certain types of molecules. Conversely, the same principle is applied in repulsion, that is, a small quantity of oil placed upon a surface of water will easily demonstrate that oil and water do not mix. This is simply because of the fact that in the electromagnetic fields of the atoms themselves are formed either compatible or non-compatible unions of energy transference and thus become either adhesive or repulsive. The same principle takes place in the formation of vortexes in the regeneration of cyclic patterns of energy or motional transference in the higher dimensions. We now find that the terminating end of a vortex has, so far as the infinities posed above it in different dimensions, adapted within itself a certain cohesive form of relationship with its originating source of supply. Thus it cannot revert back into some original form of cyclic motion, but is further expelled, so to speak, from the parent supply in a common trajectory and again relates itself into some dynamic movement through what we presuppose to be space and time. It must be remembered here by the reader that the movement of space or time, as it relates to the infinite, does not mean there is such a thing as space or time in the infinite. It means that we, as individuals in our consciousness and in sustaining life upon the earth, have only assumed a certain movement of consciousness with infinity. And as we are moving along this predetermined line of consciousness as it is posed in its cyclic motion, we are moving through infinity at the rate of 186,210 miles per second, which is the supposed rate of speed of light. Therefore, it is we who are moving in our consciousness and not the infinite which is moving about us, and we are only terminating in the common denominator of space and time, a certain conjunctive relationship of consciousness with the infinite. When these particles of vortical energy thus become cohesive in their common terminating point, as they are thus expelled from the infinite cosmogony which so created them, they assume this same trajectory in regard to their former position in what we might call the terminating speed of light and thus are hurled into what the scientist calls free space. It means, so far as this tiny nucleus of energy is concerned, it is only trying, in its own way, to relive itself into infinity, to again form within its own consciousness with a number of regenerative patterns and cyclic motions of transference, a common union or junction with its originating source. This originating source can be said, so far as the common energy particle or cosmic ray is concerned, to exist anywhere in the infinite, because in the infinite it can be presupposed that the originating sources of these energy forms can be terminating in vortexes simultaneously in an infinite number of points of terminus and in an infinite number of times per second. Thus, we have this great and abundant supply of tiny energy particles known as mesons, protons, or positrons and various other objective forms of energy coming into the Earth's atmosphere, which are called cosmic rays or particles by the scientist. This same principle in turn relates itself in a common form with the regeneration of every known so-called solid particle which science is able to equate upon a common atomic scale of interpolation. All common atoms, as they are thus posed by the scientist in this day, can be considered in their own way only as terminating points of certain vortical patterns regenerated from cyclic forms of motion from the infinite cosmos. The foregoing is quite true with the formation of aggregates as they concern the Earth, or in such larger junctions of aggregates as they concern a sun, either our own sun or one of the other suns in our galaxy or in our universe. In fact, the cyclic or vortical pattern of our universe is quite well known to modern-day astronomers. It, in itself, portrays very vividly the common pattern of cyclic motion which regenerated it from that great infinite cosmos and an infinite number of dimensions, and which the scientist cannot as yet see or determine in his present-day hypothesis either from the slide rule, calculus, or various other types of technical impedimenta. Several years ago, a well-known scientist, Robert Oppenheimer, who is called the father of the atom bomb, made a statement in a nationally known magazine that we had at that time reached the point of diminishing returns in our mathematical science. He further stated that any new advancement in technocracy of the various sciences would have to be made in directions which were yet unknown to the present-day scientist. Today has seen a partial justification of his prophecy, while man is struggling to hurl rockets into space or into orbit around the Earth. He is going through the first stages of an entirely new and inceptive process of infinite cosmogony, and in the next few years, the scientist will realize the abysmal ignorance of trying to equate the whole infinite in terms of third-dimensional equation and mathematical formulae. Therefore, he will become, through necessity, increasingly cognizant of this infinite cosmogony about him. No attempt at this time, either in this chapter or in such succeeding texts, shall be made to enter into a full technical discussion as to equations, mathematical formulae, etc., for the simple reason that this work is intended to first spring the lock upon the dungeons of the various material obsessions as they are contained in our present-day terrestrial dispensations, whether they were religious in nature or were so diametrically opposed to dogmas in our existing scientific concepts, that this work necessarily had to appeal not only to the scientists but to those who possess a much more prosaic form of interpretation of life about them. The seeker who is trying to evaluate a more spiritual relationship to this infinite cosmogony about him has somehow, through evolution, sensed or he has been able to bring some nebulous form of consciousness into his present-day life dispensations. In the succeeding years, our technocracy will gradually develop into various formulas, pattern analysis, etc., which will more factually relate, in an integrated pattern, the concepts which are posed in this work. But first it is necessary for anyone so interested, not only in his own personal destiny into the future but also in the destiny of his fellow man, that he should be made aware of the existing principles of creation as they are more directly concerned with that infinite future into which he will progress through the succeeding evolutions and lives he will live in that future. Chapter 20. In summing up the various concepts contained in the previous texts, it is hoped by now that the student has arrived at some rather important conclusions in his introspection of the infinite, but it is always well that we should again enter into and review these most important factors of our relationship with the infinite. In the beginning it was posed that individually, man reflected in his earth life a certain negative polarity of transference of consciousness in respect to the infinite, and herein enters at least one very important and dynamic concept which everyone should remember in the future. This is, nothing is static in the eye and mind of the infinite, that all consciousness is constantly in motion and so far as the terrestrial or earth dimension is concerned, in terms and references to our modern science, can be considered energy wave forms which have a positive and a negative polarity as an oscillating motion. This was further equalized in our common objectivism, that by throwing a stone into a pond we could see energy being transferred in an undulating or an up and down motion from one point to another. In common terms of reference, therefore, it is most important to remember that in all forms of motion, whether they are concerned with the more immediate terrestrial or third dimension, or into the more infinite abstractions, there is always involved the concept of polarity. This means that always within each form of consciousness, as it is expressed in such a wave form or a motion, and whether or not it is contained in a point-to-point terminus, a third-dimensional equivalent, or to more infinite abstractions as are contained in cyclic motions of transference within the cycle itself, there is always the resolution of the positive to negative and negative to positive equivalence of transference which always presents to the face of infinity its own particular equivalent of consciousness as it was so regenerated from the vastness and the infinite beginnings of the most infinite. Throughout this vast interchange and this great sea of infinitely filled void which has been called space, we have seen this interplay of consciousness as it was contained in polarity patterns. These polarity patterns, whether they were related to forms of expressions as great cycles in which certain junctions are terminating points of consciousness as polarity transferences, or that they regenerated other commonly related vortical patterns within themselves, in turn, focused into a common terminating point called a sun, a galaxy or even a universe. Even the universe itself, in its general and known pinwheel-like fashion, was a silent voice telling the scientist how this great vortex, stemming from an infinite number of dimensions above it, was, in turn, only a very small and infinitely minded particle of consciousness which again linked and relinked, through a large number of infinitely vast cycles, into another form of consciousness which was so expanded in nature that it would indeed not only stagger your consciousness but would remain absolutely undetermined, so far as any particular points of introspection were concerned in your present attempt to evaluate this infinite. Conversely, the world of atoms and atomic forms as they are again subdivided into electrons and positrons are resolving themselves contrariwise into configurations of polarity patterns, as the electron represents the negative quotient of the atom, while the positron, the hard core or nucleus. These are only determined in their position or relationship to the expression of consciousness with a similar vortex which supports them from another dimension. This vortex, in turn, then becomes a common form of expression which is again linked in that cyclic pattern of transference of consciousness into an increasing number of greater and more expanded forms of cyclic motion into this same infinite cosmogony. Thus we have again transferred polarity into two equally and infinitely expanded fields of consciousness into sub-infinity, and even the electron or the proton in turn would subdivide itself into infinity in another direction, just as does vortical and cyclic motion transfer consciousness into infinity into the expanded universe. These principles of regeneration or reorientation of consciousness, as are posed in cyclic or vortical methods of transference of such forms of consciousness from various polarities, and thus contained within, are part of the regenerative process in the creation of each individual in whatever particular material or spiritual constituents which that individual is, at any time, expressing in his perspective to the infinite. These same common principles, in all their abstractions and implications, involve an infinite number of creative forms of consciousness in which man will find himself in his travels into this infinity. Thus in the future eons of time, he will find himself in other worlds and in other dimensions wherein introspection is carried into an increasingly larger number or into an entirely different realm and dimension of perspective than he is now immediately occupying. To some degree, this journey into the future has been the common lot of those whom the religionists call avatars or masters, such as Jesus of Nazareth, or other such exponents of seemingly advanced forms of truth or consciousness in the histories of our world. These and other forms of consciousness, as they are transferred into other fields, such as science in its various branches, can also be truly interpreted as part of a more advanced form of consciousness related to anyone, or a given number of individuals who have thus progressed beyond the boundaries of the immediate reactionary dimension, which is the common lot of all individuals who so occupy the Earth at this particular time. Basically, and at nominal rates of transference, each individual, as he has been selected as representing the average individual concerned with an average materialistic life upon the Earth, does pose within his conscious mind an advanced negative polarity which is biased entirely by the physical dimension into which he has passed, from succeeding lifetimes. He is also, to some degree in an intuitive fashion, negatively biased to the positive or the spiritual side of his dimension into the infinite, and into which he will travel in future generations of consciousness wherein he will again occupy a physical body from time to time, in his attempt to evaluate and to reform the infinite into some adjutants of physical consciousness. Here again, another important principle has been activated and previously explained but does however, bear further mention. This is the common process of polarizing consciousness from one particular polarity to another as it is posed from the superconsciousness of each individual, and its implications in vortical and cyclic patterns of consciousness, stemming from the infinite into that exact configuration of the negative polarity as it is posed by an infinite number of lifetimes lived in physical or terrestrial dimensions of consciousness. So, dear reader, it makes but little difference where we transfer our particular point of perspective. To analyze and to equate the movements, transferences, and various interpolations of consciousness, as they are more directly concerned with an infinite perspective, always means that we must involve the same relationship of such transferences into the common movements of cyclic and vortical patterns, as they relate each form of consciousness to its own particular position in regard to infinity. Thus, in the future, the scientist will be able to establish, not only from the physical dimension, a limited number of physical laws which were first posed by Newton in his laws of mechanical motion, but he will also be able to transfer his equivalents of analysis into perspectives and dimensions which involve a much greater number of dimensions of consciousness, and the transference of such forms of ideologies and expressions of life into common denominators which he will then, at that future time, call his existing physical science. At that future date, he will then be able to equate in his own mind a more suitable manner in which to relate himself to the infinite vastness of space about him, and which seems only space at the present moment because he lacks the certain reactive senses to determine all values in this so-called space. Thus, in relating himself into more of these dimensional forms of transference as they are thus posed, in his future analysis he will see man living in various forms of relationships and in different dimensions involving other spectra of transferences. At that future time, if he so deems it necessary to create such a suitable transitory vehicle as he calls a flying saucer, he will also be able to transform the basic vibrating rate of the atoms, as they are affected in gravitational fields of force or the electromagnetic fields of force about the Earth, into other dimensions, and thereby he will have automatically eliminated the now existing barriers of this seemingly impregnable vastness of space, and space in itself will at least have become partially non-existent. Chapter 21. In the future vistas of time, however, it can reasonably be supposed that the scientist will begin to include the various concepts as they relate him to infinity and as they have been largely posed in the various texts contained in this book. The progress of science, even though it has been comparatively rapid in the past 50 years, yet it is at the present moment progressing at much less than a snail's pace, when it can be evaluated upon some basis wherein a certain degree or relative position to infinity can be presupposed into our analogy. Therefore, any seemingly strong statements which have been placed in the text of this book are entirely justifiable, inasmuch as the author does not, in himself personally, take full moral responsibility for the construction or for the evaluation of these texts, and has served only as a channel or a medium of transference into this outer world. He is not to be considered to be in any way an irascible escapist who is a misanthropist and hates all mankind, but he has merely succeeded in elevating his consciousness to a point where the world seems to be rather an abysmal place of extreme ignorance and various other deprivations, which are always the result of retarded consciousness. This too has been the common lot of all of those individuals who have gone somewhat beyond the realms of the material dispensations of our physical earth. To Jesus, this was also somewhat of a problem, and he often, in moments of feeling irritation, expressed himself to the materialists and called them thus, "Thou hypocrites." For indeed mankind does become a hypocrite, not only to the infinite creative force which has regenerated itself into all finite forms of consciousness, but he has also become, in his hypocrisy, his own worst enemy. He has retarded his advancement and his development. He has inflicted his present terminating point of physical life with all manners and forms of various intolerances, warlike attitudes, and other particular types of materialistic derelictions which are actually more bestial in nature than those exhibited by the prowling beasts of the jungle. In this way, the pure science of our day, While it may try to cover itself with a halo of glory by saying that knowledge of atomic research is necessary, yet primarily, atomic research was instigated purely upon the basis that the armies of this nation had to have a better weapon to kill their fellow men than their fellow men possessed to kill them. Just how far this reactionary condition will exist into the future, will determine whether man shall live upon this planet, or whether he shall blow it into kingdom come. There are also many other concepts which are indirectly proportions of relationships which have been posed in the different texts and concepts contained herein. The seemingly so-called molten core of iron and nickel which the Earth is supposed to have, is another one of those fallacious renditions of our physical sciences, and as far as the interior of the Earth is concerned, it does, toward the center, present only to the outer or the exterior surface, an increasingly high ratio of incidence of energy transference from the vortex from which it stems. That which has been seen and termed the hard crust of the Earth is only the exterior shell of a number of atomic energy forms or constituents which have remained statically balanced, so to speak, revolving within their own orbits for the common expression of dynamic energy. Conversely, then, the scientist will be able to find in the future, if he ever succeeds in getting down into the immediate exact center of his own Earth, that it is quite likely to be just as much of a so-called vacuum as is the space about him. Unless he has certain determinants of various senses or developed factors or other particular scientific impedimenta which can determine these things for him, the energy forms which are contained in the interior heart of the Earth, or in the exact center, will, at the present time, be beyond the realm of his present understanding, and he shall not be able to see into the interior, or the exact center of the Earth, any more than he shall be able to see space about him. Should this same scientist be able to levitate himself from the gravitational field of the Earth into the space about him, in coming into a more direct contact with the Sun and occupying a position about halfway between these two stellar orbs, he will see that the Earth, too, in certain ratios of transference, presents about it a certain field of force, a corona, and that he will find it extremely difficult and perhaps impossible to see the Earth itself because of this highly supercharged static field of energy forms which surround the Earth. This is quite true in a somewhat different relationship with other planets in this solar system and particularly so of Venus. The chromosphere of the Sun is merely a supercharged field of force which surrounds a much more dense and heavier planet within the confines of this external field of force, and on certain occasions, the gyrating motions of this energy field subdivide themselves and form small vortical patterns or holes which the scientist calls sunspots, through which he can actually look and see the blackness within. This should have definitely proven to the scientist a long time ago, as he studied the Sun, that it was not hot, but that this force field, in common terms of relationship, as has been previously discussed, and through cyclic forms of transference into existing electromagnetic fields around the Earth, was transforming into compatible frequency spectra, known as heat and light, its various energy constituents. The Sun itself only represents, to a large degree, a catalyzing EMF or stimulating force wherein these various forces, through cosmic hysteresis, were thus able to manifest themselves into various energy forms which are common to our science. When man does possess a space vehicle, he will be able to travel, not only from here to the Sun, but when he gets close to the Sun, he will find it is not hot as he commonly presupposed it to be. He will be able just as other particular flying saucers from different parts of the galaxy or universe, to easily penetrate through this exterior chromosphere and land upon the interior surface of the planet itself, for the Sun is truly a planet, in all respects. Just as the Earth is a planet to the Sun, in turn, becomes a planet to a larger portion of the galaxy, part of which is seen in the dimension of sight known as the Milky Way. Note, the text for this book was given in 1959, chapter 22. One other important concept which the student must always remember is that in his evolutionary flight through this so-called time and space in the reliving of a large number of lifetimes which, as they were in each succeeding life, pre-evaluated upon a common basic understanding of material values from one or a number, or all of the preceding lifetimes. He has thus largely developed various reactive mechanisms within his consciousness. He has thus, through these succeeding generations, placed himself directly in the line of transference of energy as a reactive element from one particular form of transference to another. In other words, through consciousness and its associations, he has thus adopted the human form, and this in turn relates him to such transferences of energy as heat, thus he can be burned. Another reactive element also resides in atomic constituents which man finds about him. He can dig the iron ore from the earth, and after suitable smelting, form it into a sword which will again become a reactive element through his body. The same sword can, with other swords, again form a suitable instrument which can turn over the earth and therein grow crops to sustain his life upon this planet. The disposition here, and in the transferences as they are concerned in dispensations of consciousness to the average individual, then becomes its own prerogative. In this way, man is largely different from any other particular form of species of plant or mammalia, as it is concerned upon our terrestrial planet. All other forms of plant and mammalia, to a large degree, form a more directly and commonly related pattern of transference in everyday life which is also presupposed and predisposed by previous incarnations. Only in man, however, do we find such wide deviations as are given in common terms of reference which are referred to as reason. Reason, in itself, means that any particular individual has formed within the realm of his consciousness a large number of conjunctions of energy transferences from any one or a number of more immediate terrestrial and spiritual dimensions about him, and in these junctions, transfers what he calls consciousness into such reactive elements of life about him. His spiritual life will, by this common evaluation and in this future symposium, then begin to embody by necessity in his future evolutions, certain forms of consciousness which can further reinstate him into other horizons of perspective as they are concerned with more spiritual forms of life and which do not include embodiment into a physical form of flesh. The problem of death will have, by that time, been completely alleviated, and will no longer be a form of consciousness which is feared by the material man. At that far distant future time, he will thus, in the common denominators of intelligence which are transferred into his consciousness in his daily life, relate himself to a more infinite perspective of consciousness as it concerns the infinite which stems from that infinite infinite. This is cosmic continuum, and in every sense of the word it shall become the common property of each individual as he is thus revolving in some terrestrial dimension in the future, providing of course, he so wishes it to become a part of him and he is suitably inspired or preconditioned by conscious or subconscious memory transferences of spiritual lives which he has lived in the lives between lives. This will, in the future, form the necessary libido or drive, the joie de vivre, or the impetus to sustain his life into these infinite perspectives and horizons of consciousness which he will occupy in that future infinity. For the present, however, let us begin to constructively evaluate life about us as to succeeding regenerations of consciousness into various cyclic forms as they are regenerated from the infinite consciousness. When this has become an integrated part of daily life, the fear of death and subsequent different inflictions of the terrestrial world will begin to disappear about us, problems relating to life in the physical consciousness will disappear, and in future regenerations and evolutions, you will find that the physical body, too, will have disappeared and that life then will be lived entirely in spiritual dimensions which are, at the present time, beyond your immediate dimension of consciousness. So, for the future, may you journey into this infinity in full realization and in full consciousness of the regenerative principles of life which are constantly being manifest into your daily life. Chapter 23. The presentation of the various concepts contained in the previous texts will present to the layman and the scientist alike, some rather obviously startling departures from the commonly accepted idioms of scientific knowledge which have been collectively propounded during the past 100 years or so, or since the beginning of our present-day physical science. It must be remembered, however, that these concepts are not idle theorems or conjectures, but are indeed quite factual and can be proven by numerous existing mysteries, as well as the more commonly accepted forms of physical sciences as they now exist. It is our avowed purpose and intention to prove from such mysteries and unexplained paradoxes as now presently exist in our physical science and in the beginnings of this so-called new space age, that these concepts are indeed correct.